praise God. Hallelujah. Let's thank Him for that great love, and thank You for that hope, Lord. And we thank You for Your faithfulness and the way You love us. We do, Lord. We thank You, Jesus. We thank You, Jesus. Yes, yes. We've experienced that love. We feel that love. We walk underneath the protection of that love. And it is no small thing to us. And that's why we worship as we do. And that's why we love Him back through prayer and praise. And when we clap our hands or when we lift our voice to praise Him or to pray to Him, that is not just protocol. That is our heart speaking out, saying, Lord, thank You so much for all that You have done for us. Would You just give our Heavenly Father a great praise right now? Really sincere thanksgiving, Lord. We're very thankful to You. We are very thankful to You, Lord. We are very thankful to You. From two portions of Scripture, Psalm 100, verse 3, and then in the New Testament, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Psalm 100 and verse 3, and I'm going to have you help me when we get to the middle of this verse, and we will all quote it or say it or read it aloud, where it talks about where we are His people. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us, and not we ourselves. Now would you join me in reading? We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. I want to preach one of the most personal messages today that I can preach. All of them should have some kind of personal application to our lives. I feel and sense the Lord wanting to affirm and confirm to us that we belong to Him. And so from 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, where He anoints Simon to write about his feelings for us. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, or His own special people, that you should show forth the praises of Him, the one who has called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. And would you just once again do that again together? Let's give Him praise, this one. Lord, You have called us out of a spiritual darkness, and out of the darkness of life situations, and mainly out of the darkness of our sins. And You called us into a marvelous light. Hallelujah. If you're thankful for that light, give Him praise another time, Lord. And we are thankful to be able to walk in Your light, in the scope of Your light, oh God. Thank You, Jesus. And you may be seated. Admittedly, when we say we belong to God, there is a responsibility folded into that, and that is another message. But today, I'm not going to dwell on the responsibility, but upon the blessing and the privilege of belonging to God. And so I just entitle it, You Belong to God. And I am preaching to everybody, but please do not get lost in the crowd. I very specifically want you to take this as a message from God to you. You belong to Him. The desire to belong is a basic human desire and expression of humanity. I talked with an individual this week. They didn't say those words, but those words were laced into what they were talking about. They needed someone to listen. They needed someone to whom they could come and speak, and I wasn't the only one that they were speaking to, but you could hear and you could feel that sense of, I want to feel like I belong, And so I want to feel like someone can listen and then respond because I belong. We do need to be loved. And we do need to know who we are. And those needs are folded into and fulfilled by belonging. The need for belonging is a God-given trait in us. There's a God-given way to fulfill that desire. God put that in us as humans, that need to belong to somebody, to something, and somewhere. And so, if He put it in us, He has put at our disposal a God-given way to have that desire fulfilled. We will never totally satisfy our desire to belong outside of God. You can belong, and we do belong to other entities, and we give our attentions and our love to other persons and entities. But to totally satisfy the desire to belong, it must be found in God, and He's so willing to provide that fulfillment. God does not only call us to believe, He wants us to believe, but He has called us so we could belong. He wants us to believe, but He wants us to belong. Every human being, which means all of us in this room today, we are God's by creation. It doesn't matter what somebody believes, they're His by creation. He's the Creator, and someone might argue against that for whatever reason. They may even say they do not believe in a God. But it is true that all of us are His by creation. But we must also be His by salvation. He wanted you enough. He wanted you enough. Would you just kind of appease me right now and just kind of point your finger right at yourself? And this point of the message says, He wanted me enough that He died. He gave His life for you. The central story, the overarching theme of the Bible is, number one, the revelation of God, and number two, the revelation of how God wants to redeem every individual. And when He redeems us, it provides for a wonderful salvation plan. So at the heart of the Bibles that we of the Bible that we read is God's redemptive plan. And we could see it all throughout the scripture, beginning with the promise to Eve, and then to Shem, and then to Abraham and Isaac, and on out through the Old Testament until you get to Jesus Christ. One author said, "No portion of scripture stands alone." But each is a part of a unified purpose. It may be talking about history over here. It may be prose and poetry over here. It may be New Testament, Book of Acts story, or the gospel of Jesus Christ as He walked this earth to minister and do mighty works and miracles. But there is one unified purpose, the ongoing progress of the history of redemption. Every portion of Scripture fits to that theme. If someone would ask you, capsulize the Bible for me, you could do it in those two points. It's a revelation of God and a revelation of His redemption plan so that that God loves us and we can love Him back. There are many other sub-themes of Scripture. But that is the overarching theme of Scripture, that God loves you. God loves you. He loves the members of your family. He loves the members of every nation of this world. He loves the neighbor that you live next to. He loves the family member that you are praying for. We must never forget that great love of God. It's the overarching theme of the Bible. And God was so determined that we belong to Him. He wasn't trying to be selfish or possessive. He loved us so much, He said, "I want you. I want you." And before anybody would stop to think, maybe you already have, question, does God really want me? I want to obliterate that with the power of God's love and His Word today. No matter what you may say or think, God does want you. And He does want you to belong to Him by way of not only creation, but salvation. And it's not so He can possess us. It's not so He can manipulate us or force us. But the reason God wants you is so that He could love you. And so that He could care for you. So that He could pour out His compassion for you. So that He could protect you. So that He could bless you, or in our vernacular, so that God could spoil you. Anybody feel spoiled by God? Brother W.C. Parkey, whenever you would greet him and ask him how he's doing, he said, I'm doing so good. The Lord's been so good to me. He just spoils me. I feel spoiled this morning. I feel like the Lord has been so good. That doesn't mean that we do not have difficulties. But in those difficulties, I still belong to God. And you know what that means? Me and my difficulties belong to God. And God is going to take care of whatever trial it is or whatever circumstance it is. And if it happens to be sin or if it happens to be a failure, God can take care of that because we belong to Him. And the reason He did this redemption plan, the reason that He gave the overarching theme to the Bible that He did, is so that He could love us, give His life for us, wash away our sins, and help us to be able to live life. And not only life, but life more abundantly. A child of God can be the one with the most hope and the happiest person that there is, because we belong to God and He has given us hope and He has given us love and His help. Now that great plan, that overarching theme, called for His death. It called for death of Jesus Christ. It called for His burial in the tomb. And it called for resurrection, for Him to come forth, and that He did. So the way we enact that plan in our life, in other words, the way we plug that plan, we take it from the Bible and Scripture and we plug it into our life and it becomes a part of us and we become a part of it. Here's how that happens. His death is representative of when we repent and we die out to anything that needs to go dead in our life. And we ask for His forgiveness. We die to our self and selfish priorities and selfish desires and our natural desires. We die out through repentance. And so I preach to someone today that needs to come into that possessiveness of God through salvation. You would start with a faith in Him and then move to repenting. And God is a forgiving God. It would be useless to preach repentance if He wasn't going to do anything with our repentance. But we repent and God forgives. And aren't we thankful for that? Whew. You know, we've got enough. The Lord has spoiled us. And sometimes when we're spoiled, we do take it for granted sometimes. But just that we're forgiven, that ought to make somebody just want to run these aisles today. In fact, the Bible says when somebody repents, the angels get happy about what they did and what God's doing. They know what's happening in heaven, and they see the response of heaven to that repentance that you're going to give today. So I encourage you, do not let anything hold you back from repenting today. If you need to repent and ask the Lord, God, forgive me, I am sorry for this, that will be taking the Word of God, that theme of God's Word, and plugging it into your life. And through repentance, we come to belong to Him. And then there's baptism. That's the burial. Jesus was buried in the ground. We are buried in water of baptism, the Scripture says. In other words, we bury The Bible says this, I'm not being disrespectful. The Bible says we do away with the old man. I wouldn't recommend you calling anybody that except yourself. But you bury the old man. You bury the old way of living. It's buried. It's gone. God is showing us, this is what I'll do with your past. This is what I'll do with a present sin or failure in your life. We bury that. And not only is it a burial, but it's a washing away of our sins. In other words, God's washing what belongs to Him. We do that to cars, to clothes, to things that belong to us. We wash them. The reason God wants us to be washed by His word and by waters of baptism is because we belong to Him. Whenever you stepped into, or if you choose today to step into this baptistry, that will cause you to be possessed by the Lord. You know, there's a lot of possessions that are going on in this world. And when you read about some of the atrocities and tragedies and people killing people in just cold blood without them even having any knowledge of that person, you have to ask the question, what is it that comes over somebody to cause them to do that? They devalue life. But God is just the opposite. He loves us, and He wants to wash away those sins and those sin stains. He wants to wash whatever belongs to Him. And so He wants you to be cleansed, and He's going to take you and possess you, and you become His. Also in baptism, He puts His name on us. Well, that's what we do with books. That's what we do with computers and Bibles and ball gloves and brides. We put Williford on her. Because the lady that is your spouse, that's one way of saying she belongs to me. She belongs to me. Now she wears a ring when she doesn't drop it out of her lap getting out of the car, like happened yesterday. But ring or no ring, and I hope she found it, by the way. I want her to wear those rings, not so she just looks fancy, although they do look nice. They really do. They look nice. Yeah. But ring or no ring, she belongs to me. Gentlemen, ring or no ring, most of us couldn't take you to where our marriage certificate is right now. Right, guys? Some of you know. But others of you don't. But marriage certificate or no, she belongs to me. There's a name on her. And not only is there a name, but there's a contract and a covenant of love. And when you go down in the waters of baptism, if you already have, or if you will today, or someday in the near future, and I would encourage it, His name is going to be upon you. And He does that not only for identification, but out of love. He's saying, I want to put my name on you because you belong to me. He's not wanting to put His name on us because it's a denominational decree or belief. He wants to put His name on us, and He has. If you've been baptized in Jesus' name, you belong to Him. And He put His name on you. And God doesn't want anything or anybody messing around with His kids or His possession or His bride. He doesn't want anybody to take you or take advantage of you. And also He puts that name on us because the scripture said He's not ashamed to be called our God. And I just feel a heavy emphasis right here to help somebody, and I hope all of us, to let it awaken and be revealed in us that God is not ashamed of you. He either has put or wants to put his name on you because he's proud of you. The enemy has got us to believing that God doesn't fully love us, or that God's holding some key to the closet that has a skeleton in it, or he's dangling something over our head of our past or our failure and what we can't do or what we haven't done. But that's not it at all. He has put his name on you. And he is proud of you. And he said, I want them to belong to me. And he says to the enemy or to anybody else, look, my name is on that. My name is on that brother. My name is on that sister. He loves you. He is proud of you. So I want to just say it. I'll just say it as plain as I can. Stop feeling like God has something against you. Stop feeling like he is waiting for you to make the next slip up or the next mistake. He is proud of you. He loves you. He said, I've put my name on you through baptism. And then the next way we plug in that redemptive plan and purpose plan of God is through receiving the newness of life in the Holy Ghost. Romans said, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. You must have the Spirit. You must be born of the water and of the Spirit. But when you are, we become his. This is why receiving the Holy Ghost is of such utmost importance. Because when you have a Holy Ghost experience, not only do you get the Holy Ghost gets you. He gives us his Spirit. And we receive that, but then God receives us. And he gets us by way of filling us with the Spirit. I read about D.L. Moody, and he was going to have a preaching revival over in England. And there was one pastor that said, why do we need this Moody? He's uneducated. He's inexperienced. Who does he think he is anyway? He was having some great success leading people to God. Does he think he has a monopoly on the Holy Spirit? And there was another man led of the Spirit who appreciated the power of God. And that wiser pastor rose up and responded, said, no, he doesn't think he has a monopoly on the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit has a monopoly on him. He belongs to God. We belong to him. You've been filled with the Spirit. You belong to God. And I'm going to tell you, it's easy to forget that when we walk through life. It is one thing to preach it, and it's another thing to amen what is preached when we talk about belonging to God. But we're going to walk through some stuff this week, or the next week, or the next month. But that does not lessen God's possession of us. That doesn't loosen his grip on us. We are his by way of salvation. And not only do you belong to him, but he has a purpose for you. Slow down, everybody, just a moment. Not only do you belong to him, but he has a purpose for you since you do belong to him. Those of us maybe 45, 50 and older remember returning glass soda bottles to the store to receive deposit money. It's still done some. Not as frequently as it was before. Bottling companies, what they would do is they would buy their bottles back. I don't know, you got a nickel or a dime, maybe a few cents, I don't know, depending on the time era. But you could take those bottles back to the store and they would give you money back if you brought the glass bottles back. And then that company would take those bottles and would clean them and then make sure they were okay, and then they would use them again. They would refill them and then send them back out to be sold again. The process was called redemption. You could redeem your bottles. Now, redemption is different from recycling. Here's one important way. Recycling usually involves destroying something in order to reuse it and make it something else, similar or totally different. That's recycling. It destroys to be able to reuse. But redemption buys something back in its original design and uses it for its original purpose. God originally designed that humanity would have a relationship with Him and would have a purpose in this life. And all of us are testimonies of this. That's what God had ordered before you ever were ever born, wherever it was. I was born, somebody reminded me of it. Maybe it was the birthday stuff. But in St. Anthony's Hospital up there on Grand and Chippewa. They replaced that several years later with a national supermarket. I was not born in the fruits and vegetables area. I don't think. But before that day, or the day that you were born, listen to this, folks. He saw you before. Every one of us that are in here, He saw us before that day of birth. And He had intentions. And He had pages written, the scripture talks about. And He had thoughts about us and for us before that ever happened. He had a purpose. But sin abused and misused and messed the vessel up. But God doesn't recycle. He doesn't destroy us to reuse us. He redeems the original vessel. He said, I'll take what you are if you will give what you are to me. And then He cleans it up. He refills it. And He sends it back out to disciple and to pray for people and to obey His word. You belong to Him. Praise God. You belong to Him. I hope you remember the title of this message, and you know it's not because it is so decorative or it's so fancy, but I just hope you understand it and remember it for the sake of what it entails. You belong to God. You belong to the God of the universe. You belong to the one who said, let there be light. Ooh, that's who I belong to. That's my dad. My dad's bigger than your dad. They're all powerful, God. And I'm not meaning to mean that. This is true. God has greater power than the devil, greater power than any earthly power, and we belong to Him, folks. I'm tired of the devil pushing people around. We belong to God. First Peter, the text that we read, said, you are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. You are an holy nation. And you are a peculiar people. Now, I've probably preached this different. I'll just go ahead and say wrong. Because we do have different ways of doing things in apostolic circles. Our worship is very outward and demonstrative. We believe in a miracle-working God. The supernatural. We literally believe on that baptism thing. We literally believe. We do not believe there's anything special in that water. But we do believe that when a person goes down in that water and comes back up, not only are they wet, but what happens on the outside is what has happened spiritually on the inside of that person, and they are washed. That is peculiar. That is different. And some of the ways that we express ourselves to God, and Sister Reaver taught about being able to talk with the Lord in all kinds of times and locations, and talked about driving down the road and being able to talk to God, or maybe even begin to worship God, and somebody in another vehicle or along the sidewalk looking over and saying, oh, that poor lady. Talking to herself, or And in her illustration, as she's weeping, wonder who died. Well, it was none of that. There are some peculiar actions and reactions that we have to God. And so today, if you use that word, it usually means odd or strange. But in Simon's epistle, as anointed by the Holy Ghost, God gave him a special word to use. It was a word of possession. And the word peculiar in that setting right there, if you literally translated it out, it would mean this: to purchase something and then put a circle around it. To purchase something. So when Simon wrote and preached, we are a peculiar people. What he was telling all of us, the great news is God has purchased you. And not only did he just buy you and show you off, but he has drawn a circle around you. His blood. The old timers used to talk about the bloodline. Hallelujah. And they'd say the devil can't cross the bloodline. And I'll just add to that, God can stop him 10 foot away, 100 foot away, or however distance he wants to stop him, but that blood is greater. And we are bought by his blood. And one songwriter said, Satan, the blood of Jesus is against you. Why do you have the authority to say that? Because one day we had faith. We repented. You were baptized in Jesus' name, or you're getting ready to be baptized in Jesus' name. And you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And while many things may have happened during that time, one of the things that happened is God was purchasing you. And then he was drawing a circle around you. Hallelujah. Woo. I don't want to get outside of that circle. I want to stay underneath the protective care of the Lord. I don't want to move outside of the circle of God's love. He's encircled us with his word. If the enemy comes against you, use his word. Use God's word. Sometimes we use the enemy's word more than we use God's word. Because those doubts and that fear that he puts, you're not healed. You're not really forgiven. You're not really saved. When his word says we are a peculiar people, it speaks of a unique and private personal ownership by God Almighty. We are his unique possession. As if so that we were the only human being in existence, and only God can love like that. You belong to him and to no other. Whew. I don't care what life says, what people say, what the enemy says. You belong to God. You are special and you are precious unto him. Here's how God feels about it. He had the prophet, the Old Testament prophet Malachi, write about it. He said there was a book of remembrance that was written before him for them that feared God. But then in verse 17, he said, they shall be mine, says the Lord. In that day when I make up my jewels, I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Because you belong to him, you are valuable to God. He likened you to a jewel. It doesn't matter how the rest of us see you. God likened you to a jewel. And if you've got some rare and expensive jewels and jewelry, you know you just don't throw that around anywhere. But you protect it, and that's what God does to his jewels. He takes care of us. He values us highly. You know, who somebody or something belongs to makes all the difference in their value, right? I read about the estate sale that happened years ago after Jacqueline Kennedy Onassis passed away, and they had her estate auction. They expected that auction that was going to last a few days would raise $5 million for a cause. On the first day, it raised $4.5 million on the very first setting. A little rocking horse that Carolyn Kennedy used sold for $86,000. A walnut tobacco humidifier that the president had used sold for $574,500. A little lamp that was worth no more, a little footstool that Caroline used, worth no more than $100 or $150, sold for $33,350. What was the difference between the new one you could get in the store and the one that sold for $33,000? It all was about who it belonged to. Thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars, tens of thousands of dollars cannot describe how God feels about every one of us. You belong to God. He has purchased us. He likens us to a crown and a diadem where there are jewels and there are rare gems placed there. He said, "You're my diadem. You are my crown. He loves you. You belong to him." And in another place, by the way, God, he's perfect. He's perfect. He's perfect. But he is very possessive. And he is very protective. I heard of somebody making some ill remarks. I can't remember if it was a public official or just somebody amongst some associates that I'm with. I heard of them making some disparaging remarks about one of the children of the Lord because of some of their values and their priorities. And I would just say this. Somebody better watch out when they mess with the kingdom of God and the kids of God. I really believe that. I believe we belong to him. And I believe you are valuable to him. And if somebody tries to attack or misalign you, cause you harm and grief, those things may come, but God sees it all. In fact, in one setting, he says that he that touches you touches the apple of his eye. He that touches you touches the pupil of God's eye. Now, you know the reaction that happens when a finger, even if it's your own, and especially if it's somebody else, I mean, I'm doing it right now. Don't get too close, Steve. The natural reaction is to close the eye or to blink so that at least there is some protective shield. So when you are attacked as the pupil of God's eye, he's saying, I am going to automatically. Nobody, I mean, if something comes hurling towards you, do you have to stop and think, blink? You don't have to think, blink. You just respond. You just blink. You just shield. You just cover. We are the apple of his eye, the pupil of his eye. And I preach right now directly to whatever is attacking you. Attacker, she's a child of God. Attacking force, attacking spirit, or attacking person. He belongs to God. He is the apple. She is the pupil of the eye of God. I'm preaching, you are not alone. God is with you. You belong to God. You got a right to say that, brag about it, boast about it. In fact, maybe sometimes in our forgetting of it, we don't take the authority that we need to have. Say, look, I belong to God. I belong to him. And if a trial does come, if he lets it through, then that's his plan and his will. He'll see me through. T.W. Barnes used to say, if you pray for the mountain to move and it doesn't move, get up the next morning and start climbing it. If there's a trial, you're the apple of his eye. You're not by yourself. Not one of you. This is one sermon I wish I could just sit down and talk to each one of you or greet you and just shake your hand and look you eyeball to eyeball and say, you belong to God. You are precious to Him. There is nothing coming against you but that God has not seen it and does not care about it. Yes, He does. Yes, He does. Yes, He does. You belong to Him. You belong to Him. Monica, I know you may not understand everything, but you belong to this man. I watched him a while ago, holding her, patting her shoulder, taking care of her. You know, sometimes we don't understand how valuable that we are. But I've seen it in his life and in some personal conversations. Lost his wife, has some other family members. But he goes, I'll just say it this way, it's not the right and accurate description, Brother Barry, above and beyond to take care of precious Monica. You know why? She belongs to him. That little baby, that little child that doesn't completely understand it yet. They may be only a few weeks old. They can't comprehend how much protection mama and how much protection daddy that you're giving to them. It's the same way we can't understand how much God loves us on this side of glory. We can't understand it, but you are just as safe as Monica is right now, cradled in the arms of her daddy. You're just as safe as that youngest little baby that's here today, cradled in the arms of their mom or the dad. You are just as safe. You belong to God. Would you bow your head with me? And then I would only want you to open your eyes enough to just move out from right where you are. I know this is a little different right here, but just move out from where you are and just come to this altar and reaffirm and reclaim that possession that is God's. God, I belong to you. I'm reaffirming my faith. I know in whom I have believed. I know that you are with me. That's right. Just come on. If you want to claim the love of God, if you want to claim the goodness and the protection of the Lord, you belong to Him. No matter your present condition, you're not too broken to belong. You are not too broken to belong. He's the Redeemer. He loves you. Hallelujah. He's not out to destroy, crush, or recycle you. He has come to redeem you. You belong to Him. Somebody, it's going to be a little uncomfortable for some people, but I would encourage you, step beyond your uncomfortableness right now and claim again, because what we're getting ready to walk through in life, we're going to need the possession of God. Yes, yes, yes. Backslider, you belong to God. That's what His Word said. I've got scriptures right here. I may not get to read them today, but God said to the backslider, you still belong to me. I am not too angry with you so much that I do not love you. You belong to God. You belong to God. You belong to God. The Lord's speaking to us today. Maybe you want to come alongside somebody and just reassure them and comfort them and encourage them and pray with them. Yes, yes, we do belong to you, God. And we are valuable to you like a crown of jewels, like the royal king's diadem that he holds in his hand and he carefully handles it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your covering. Thank you for making us that chosen, bought, and encircled people. We are inside of that circle that you have drawn. That's right. That's right, God. We want to stay inside that circle, that wall of your love and your protection and your compassion and your forgiveness and your blood and your love. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Claim it right now from wherever you are. Claim, hallelujah, His ownership on your life. He does. You belong to Him. Yes, you do. You belong to Him. Yes, yes, hallelujah. Go ahead and pray it that way. Go ahead and pray it that way. Lord, we're yours. We are the pupil of your eye. Oh, yes, you've written down a book of remembrance for those who fear you and who are possessed by you, oh Lord. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. 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 That you claim it right now through every whatever the discouragement might be. Yes. Whatever the trial might be, whatever the sickness might be, whatever the stress and the pressure might be. Oh, yes, I claim it, Lord. I belong to you. You're watching over us. Your care is for us, oh God. You are with us. We're not alone. We're not alone, God. You are with us. You are with us, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. Yes, you're reassuring us today, God. I thank you for that. I pray and apply 1 Peter 2:9 over these lives, that circle that you have put around what you have bought. Yes, we do. We belong to you. Thank you for giving that blood. And thank you for encircling us with that blood. Thank you for giving your love, and thank you for encircling us with that love. Thank you for giving us your word, God. And I thank you for encircling our lives with that word. It has become our shield. Yes, yes. Hallelujah. Yeah, you put your angels around it. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, Jesus. Send your spirit to come and surround us. Let your angels protect and keep us, God. Even on the hearts of others, pray for us, defend us. God, thank you for giving us a word of defense. Yours, Lord, we belong to you. If it went anything else, God wants to reveal himself in a newer and a deeper way. Give us that understanding, God. Give us that understanding.